Getting an appointment with a psychoanalyst in August is never easy, but the Richard Nepalik, Alma's family friend, is a member of the Vienna Psychoanalytic Society. He knows where Freud can be reached, at Noordwijk in Holland, taking the sea air with his wife, sister-in-law, and two sons. Freud agrees to break his vacation to treat a man of Mahler's worth. It's too lustig an opportunity, he says, too curious or amusing to be missed. So he offers to meet Mahler in the university town of Leiden, north of The Hague. A date is set, then another, then a third. Mahler complains of a stubborn sore throat. Freud interprets his hesitancy as a folie de doute of his obsessional neurosis. He warns that 27th of August is his last free day before he leaves with a colleague for Italy. Mahler jumps on a train, travelling 30 hours via Innsbruck and Munich, and reaching Leiden late on the 26th. He checks in at the Golden Lion Hotel, a gabled house on Breestraat, a shopping street. Freud arrives by tram car from the coast the following afternoon. They meet at 4:30 at a Breestraat cafe, The Gilded Turk. Two Viennese gentlemen sit at a table in a sleepy Dutch town. Both are Jewish and Czech, almost the same age. Both try to save the world by unlocking its unconscious. Both reject their father's faith. Neither attends his mother's funeral. They understand one another on sight. A congruence of cognition, as a Freud pupil puts it. Freud says he's never met anyone who seemed to understand psychoanalysis so swiftly. Who has the first word in the great conversation? Is it Freud asking Mahler about his journey? Or does Mahler inquire after Freud's family? Freud will have been briefed by Nepalik on Mahler's troubles, while Mahler is plainly anxious, torn between a need for relief and a fear of the treatment. What seems to be the problem? The standard medical opener would be too banal for Freud to offer a man of Mahler's worth. He has a very short time to effect a cure. He cannot put Mahler on a couch 6 days a week for several months. He needs to perform a psychoanalytically informed crisis intervention, and he does so by breaking all his own rules. Draining his cup of coffee, he suggests a stroll through the deserted streets of the student-free town. Over the next 4 hours until sunset, the two gentlemen perambulate beside the canals, brows furrowed, discussing issues of heart and mind. The talking cure becomes a walking cure. Freud, 6 foot tall, full bearded, thick at the waistline, smokes a fat cigar. Mahler, barely up to his shoulder, pale-faced, clean-shaven, skinny, hops and skips along in his agitated way, interjecting acute incisions, never letting his healer hold forth without objection. They may stop again for coffee or rest a while on a bench. These details are unrecorded. They shake hands and part, just in time for Freud to catch the last tram.